Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. It's the show where we don't take calls. We don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help focus you on the events of the week through the lens of original thought. It's good to have everybody back with us here at the McBurney compound as we go out worldwide to a worldwide audience on the World Wide Web, unconstrained by the traditional bounds of the broadcast media. And we start in Tokyo. That's right, it's a worldwide show. And we go to Tokyo to the Good Riddance File, where the U.S. women's soccer team lost. That's right. They lost after an exceptionally boring and tedious 9 hours on the pitch. They lost 1-0 to Canada. Can you imagine suffering through that? I can't imagine how people suffer through soccer in general. But to watch the U.S. women's team for nine hours might be an exaggeration. That's just what it felt like, because nobody scored the whole time until finally the referees had to drum up some penalty kicks just to get the thing over with, put us out of our misery. And the Canadians defeated the pile of lesbians that call them. Although I'm sure they're not all a bunch of lesbians. I'm sure there's a couple of decent, normal girls on that team who are probably fairly embarrassed by the whole thing. But I don't know who they are. They don't get any coverage in the press. The press only likes the lesbians and the loudmouths and the woke freaks. And so, by the way, the U.S. women's national team have failed to reach the final game in back-to-back Olympics now. Yes. Ever since the ripping off of the shirt and the declaring of her anti-American fanaticism, the purple-haired ugly one, you know, the one who looks like an emaciated elf, she's a loser is what she is.
I don't know who she
is. Just pick one. I don't even like to name her by name. Her name should be blotted out of history. All right, now meanwhile, we go to a name that shall not be blotted out of history. From the Sports is Life file, Simone Biles. Simone Biles returned to the balance beam after pulling out of almost every competition and won the bronze medal. That's right. She won the bronze in the balance beam. She just modified her routine so that she wouldn't have to do any twisting because she had lost the ability to twist. Anyway, I give her a lot of respect for getting back on the balance beam because that was pretty dangerous. But she won bronze, which is third place, which for her, that's losing, by the way, because she's a four-time gold medalist. Her four gold medals in the Olympics are unmatched. She is the all-time leader in gold medals. But that was before, kind of like America. That was before she lost her nerve. Under the weight of all the corruption through which she suffered and through which she has been subject to and which she has taken upon herself, I'm sure. The USA at the gymnastics meet there at the Olympics, whatever you call it there in Tokyo, the USA ultimately earned silver, which to America, that is effectively losing. In America, when we finish second, we call that losing. It would be different if it was the Botswana team and they got silver. That would be winning. But in America, silver is called losing. And America hates a loser. And so, I don't mean hate in the sense of active vitriolic hate. It's just that we don't appreciate a loser as much as we do a winner. At least we used to not. But now we may not be allowed to do that anymore. We may have to celebrate losers, because that's all we can aspire to in America anymore, is to be second-rate losers, and we better be happy with that. And perhaps that's what we deserve. or at least that's what a significant plurality of you people deserve because of what you've drug us down into with your cowardice and your superstition and your godlessness and your heathen and all of that. Don't get me started on this. From there, let's move on. Continuing the sports theme here at the Weekly Worldview, because you know how sports-oriented we are. We're into sports. I have my baseball cap on backwards right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, from the bad joke file, the transgendered weightlifter, Larry Hubbard, he competed this past Monday in the Tokyo Olympics, as expected. On his first attempt, he tried to lift 120 kilograms and failed. Well, and then he managed to lift a very shaky 125 kilograms, but a number of the commentators said that shouldn't have qualified. I don't know all the ins and outs of weightlifting. 125 kilograms is a lot. It's more than 250 pounds, I think, 270 pounds, something like that. I think I could probably lift it off the ground, but I might be a lot bigger than this guy. Anyway, I could probably lift it up, maybe 250 pounds. I don't know.
All the way up?
No, no. I think it's just a deadlift.
Oh, deadlift?
Well, I don't know. They don't say what it was. It might be the clean and jerk or the snatch and clean. I don't know what it is. Anyway, the tranny, on the third attempt, the tranny could not lift 125 kilograms and was bounced out of the tournament. That's right, female weightlifter Anna Van Bellingen. Female weightlifter Anna Van Bellingen has spoken out about the tranny, likening competing against the tranny as a, quote, bad joke, unquote. a bad joke, but she beat him. So there, that's so the joke's on him. All right, International Olympic Committee Medical Science Director, doctor, please just give me a break, said, quote, Laurel Hubbard is a woman and is competing under the rules of her federation, and we have to pay tribute to her courage and tenacity as she lost against all of the girls in the competition, even though I call her a her and it's we know it's a him. I'm a doctor after all, so I mean, I can only carry this so far, but, you know, they pay me very good salary to say this stuff. That she's a, he's a, she, and I have to respect. There's a, oh, let me get back to the script. There's a lots of respect of physiology and anatomy that contribute to an elite performance. It's not so simple with the men and the women and the women and the men. Each sport has to make their own assessment so they can ensure there's a fair competition with the transgender and the men and the woman becomes man and the man becomes woman. Usually men becomes woman, I've noticed. Usually it's man becomes woman, but it's okay. We make sure it's all fair. But also, it's important about the inclusion for everyone, whether they're male or female or something else, so they are able to take part in the sport they love. And this is what is important, is what they love. It's not the genitals. No, no, no. It's not the DNA. No, it's not the hormonal levels. Yes, that's of some import. But most important is what you love. That's what you love is most important. And we're very sorry to see Larry go. But we hope he comes back next year. And maybe he's a boy, maybe he's a girl. It's whatever he loves. That was Dr. Richard. Please just give me a break from the Transnational Weightlifters National Olympic Committee. Okay, from there, let's continue in the wide world of sports. Can I do that again? Yes. Let's continue with the wide world of sports as we go into the widespread cowardice file. Widespread cowardice throughout the National Football League. That's right. Here we go. Jimmy Graham is apparently plays for the National Football League, which is a group of men who play a game for exorbitant amounts of money and complain about it all the time. He is a tight end for the Chicago Bears. He said, basically, I was forced to get vaccinated. That's what he says. He says, quote, I've done everything I've been asked to do, and now I feel like I'm being punished. They're making me get tested all the time, even if I'm vaccinated. If I miss a test, and they're proposing I have to get the test all the time. If I miss a test, I'll get fined $150,000. How does that make sense? How is the punishment 100 times worse than last year? And I'm vaccinated now. Well, there's no explanation there, Jimmy. Or what's his name? Yeah, Jimmy. Sorry, Jimmy. There's no explanation for all that. And Jimmy, nobody held you down and shoved a needle into your arm and gave you that vaccine. You weren't forced to get the vaccine. You're a coward. So you took the vaccine and you bent the knee because you thought that would make everything all right. But guess what? Just like everyone else, you were wrong, Jimmy. Going along with it and then going along a little more and then deciding, you know, if we just go along a little more, then eventually we're going to get on the other side of this. That was all a big mistake, Jimmy. They're never going to give this back, Jimmy. The National Football Players Association, according to this report from Breitbart, has an aggressive new testing regimen with severe financial penalties for missed tests, whether you're vaccinated or not. So you're going to have to take the shot, Jimmy, then get tested, Jimmy, then get fined, Jimmy, then take the booster shot, and if you don't get the booster shot, you're a bad person. And eventually you're going to end up on a list. And if you end up on that list, you're going to become an enemy of the state. And if you become an enemy of the state is going to go after you, Jimmy. Well, no, they won't go after you, Jimmy, because you bent the knee. No, you and all of the people who forced you to take the shot, Jimmy, you will all meet again someday in the gulag. While those of us who resist will either free you or die with the Patriots face down in the blood and the mud. And that's what we would rather do, Jimmy, than bend the knee and take the shot. And then complain, oh, I was forced. You weren't forced to do anything. I was forced to make $2.5 million a year and take the shot. All right, we have a quote from Bears coach Matt Nagy. He shared his alleged thoughts. Here's what a coach in the NFL has to say. Well, now there's stuff. There's stuff going on every day with this, and I think everybody is figuring out that the best thing to do is to be safe. And not just in the sports world, but in life in general. Every state is a little different in what they're doing. You know, masks, no masks. Things are certainly changing. Unquote. That's Bears. Those are the alleged thoughts of Bears head coach Matt Nagy. This is why I was into sports when I was young and relatively ignorant. But as I became older and a little bit more sophisticated in my thought processes, I've never been able to get into sports. And especially sports urinalism. Reporting on what people in sports say. I mean, it's not listenable. It's torture, in fact. That's probably what we'll be playing in hell. Will be interviews with sports figures immediately before and immediately after games that in the end we all found out those games didn't mean anything. And then all the words, the many, many, many words that all of these sports people say and all of the sports urinalists ask, it's all the same thing over and over and over and over. And they say it and they say it and they say it and they say it. And upon further reflection, you realize they're saying nothing at all. It's meaningless. Yeah, if you're into sports, God bless you. I mean, it's fun to watch. I watched some of the Olympics. I saw some of the games. What were we watching just the other night that was interesting? The baseball. We watched the Koreans against the Dominicans. You got these little Korean guys up against these Dominican monsters. The Dominican guys, look, it's like Jack and the Beanstalk. Jack against the giant. And the Dominicans just slaughtered the Koreans in embarrassing fashion. But anyway, so sports is interesting to watch, but it's not interesting to listen to these people talk about it. And then speaking of that, let's go to rock and roll or alleged rock and roll. Let's see here. From the Dim New World file, drummer Pete Parada has been fired from his band for refusing to get the COVID vaccine. I'm not going to mention the band because I could care less. He had been in the band for 14 years. And if I mention this band, it would be a band you've heard of. Well, I mean, not if you're relatively sophisticated, you probably wouldn't. But anyway, the doctor told him he shouldn't get the shot due to his pre-existing conditions. In an interview, the drummer said, since I'm unable to comply, it has recently been decided that I'm unsafe to be around. In the studio, on tour, people think I'm unsafe. Uh-huh. Like that wasn't already true. You're a drummer in a rock band. That was already true for a number of different viruses, for crying out loud. Now, anyway, Parada, the drummer, he says he has no negative feelings for the band. So they fire him for not taking medicine that they're not authorized to force him to take. But he has no negative feelings because, well, it's a band from the 90s. And they're generally unable to recognize he's injustice. Yeah, he's already dead inside, so not able to recognize the injustice. And it's probably from all the pot. Is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's good to have you as we move on from the from COVID into we do COVID and sports and all of that. What do you call it when two rivers come together? A confluence of COVID and sports and rock and roll. And so now we go from there to the politics file, where the New York Post is reporting that another D.C. police officer who responded to the mostly peaceful dust-up at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th has taken his own life, making him the fourth law enforcement officer who took part in the events of that day to die by his own hand. Isn't this interesting journalism? A law enforcement officer who took part in the events of that day. What does that mean? It's just a little broad is all. That's all I'm saying. And so he's committed suicide. The officer whose name I shall not mention, because people who commit suicide, their names should generally be expunged from the historical record. Yeah, they should be blotted out of history for what they've done. For their selfishness and their cowardliness and the pain that they inflicted on other people that they had no right to inflict on other people, their name should be blotted out from all of history. So we're not going to mention this guy's name, but we are going to mention some facts about the mostly peaceful dust-up there at the January 6th event at the Capitol, the mostly peaceful protest. This is according to the New York Post, the mostly peaceful protest led to the deaths of five people. What does that mean, led to the deaths? Well, let us explain. Officer Brian Sicknick had a stroke 3 days after the riot. And so that, we think the riot led to, it definitely came before his death there. Can't deny that. Okay. Another Capitol Police officer, who shall not be named, committed suicide 3 days after the dust-up. And then a Metropolitan Police officer, whose name shall be blotted out of all history here at the Weekly Worldview, fatally shot himself on January 15th, 1 day after he was ordered back to work. Well, that's typical of a federal worker. You order them back to work, they consider suicide. Because, you know, they're not used to working all that much. And, all right, so I've already covered the fact of the shamefulness of suicide, the fact that there's no, and by the way, I think if you took a survey of a group of any three, I believe there were 300 to 400 Capitol Police who what do they call it here, who took part in the events of the day. Some of them were barbecuing. Some of them were opening the doors. Some of them were high-fiving with some of the protesters. And then in a few little pockets, there were protesters who were rioting. And some of the police were involved in that. But there were 300 or 400 people who took part in the events of the day who were uniformed officers, let's say. And I'm convinced in America today, if you took a survey of any 300 or 400 people who had been in any event and you followed them for a few months, at least 4 of them would kill themselves. Because this is America today, and people kill themselves for at the drop of a hat. Get depressed, you kill yourself. Maybe you kill some other people first, and then you kill yourself. So the fact that the... and then the stroke with Sicknick, come on. Just tell that story walking, okay? That doesn't work. The suicides, that's just welcome to America. That's a day in the life, okay? So this whole thing is just a ginned up... I don't have to go on, right? Do I have to go on? I don't. I can move on. Let's move on into the actual insurrection file. The actual insurrection that I've been calling since early June of 2020. I believe I was the first person in the media, the first high-profile national media figure to use the word insurrection for what was happening in Minneapolis on the day it happened. I believe I was the first. And I don't know that anyone else has even followed me because they're a bunch of cowards. Everyone who makes their living doing this, they're afraid to say whatever, the truth. They're afraid to say the truth because it might cut off their money. Whatever. I don't care. I make my money working. I don't make my money talking about stuff. I make my money doing stuff. Talking about stuff is just a bonus. And if you're good at it, other people will listen to you. And if you're not, well, you can still sit in your cave and just rant. And your extremely attractive audio engineer will laugh at your jokes. And then that's really all, that's worth it right there. But we go into the real, genuine insurrection file where an event, so this is from the Post-Millennial, an event was announced last month by a Christian ministry in the Portland, Oregon area, featuring Canadian preacher Artur Pavlovsky. You remember Artur Pavlovsky, who's been arrested and imprisoned, and his church has been shut down and chased and kicked out and persecuted by the Canadian the Canadian fascist government. Well, he was invited down to Portland to speak to a group of Christians in an open-air park. Well, when Portland Antifa heard about it, they organized direct action on social media where they are unrestricted by the lords of social media. Portland Antifa posted up, quote, "Welcome to Portland. You won't like it here, Pastor," unquote. That's what Portland Antifa tweeted. And then a video, well, the event went off, right? Pavlovsky was flown in. He speaks to the group during the event. During the event, video shows that dozens of armed Antifa in black riot gear moved in to physically confront attendees of the event. Antifa sprayed a congregant with pepper spray and screamed, "Where is your God now?" They can be heard screaming that on the video after pulling apart the sound system. Pulling apart the church's sound system, Antifa tossed the audio equipment into the Willamette River. On video, in front of God and everyone, can you guess that somebody was calling 911 at this point while all of this was happening? Do you think any one of the congregants or the people who came to listen to Pastor Pavlovsky were calling 911 while all this was happening? I can guess that they were. An Antifa account posted up on Twitter said that they stole the Christians' food and water. That they posted that up, that they took their food and water. They're proud of that. The Portland Police Department did not make any arrests. And the Portland mayor's office has been reached for comment, but has not commented. And why did they reach out to the Portland mayor's office? Well, we know that the Portland mayor himself was likely shooting video for Antifa and probably wasn't available. I mean, that's all alleged. We don't know for sure, but, you know. We suspect that that's possibly what was going on there with the Portland mayor. He was either shooting video for Antifa or he was at Antifa headquarters on his knees condemning himself for his whiteness. Over and over and over. Okay. So from Antifa ripping apart a sound system, throwing it into the river, physically attacking Christians in the park, right? From there, we go to the conspiracies and stereotypes file, where the Epoch Times report. I just subscribed to the Epoch Times, gave them my cash money, because I appreciate the news that they do. So I recently subscribed. I suggest you do so as well. They have some really good updates, and they report actual news. They're not afraid to report things that might be embarrassing or difficult or might require serious thought or even difficult actions to overcome. That's the Epoch Times reports these type of things. That's why I subscribe. So from the conspiracies and stereotypes file, a senator in Arizona was arrested last Thursday for allegedly being involved with a minor. Let's just leave it at that. That's all you really need to say, right? Senator, minor, we know what's going on, right? We know he didn't buy him a bike, right? We know he didn't take him to a ball game. No, that's not what's going on. This is America circa 2021. When senators and minors are mentioned in one sentence, we know what that means. State Senator Tony Navarrete, he was arrested. And the Arizona State Democrats later confirmed that one of their members, we have a statement that was issued from the Arizona Senate Democrat Committee because nobody wanted to get up on behind a lectern and answer questions about this. So they just issued a statement that said, quote, "We are aware that one of our members has been arrested. We are awaiting further details for law enforcement to do its job. We will not have further comments at this time," unquote. And of course, they're allowed to get away with that because the criminally insane run the government and the media. Detective, what happened here, folks, was detectives interviewed a juvenile. From that interview, they developed probable cause to arrest the suspect senator for multiple counts of not taking a minor to a baseball game. Let's just put it that way. Not buying a minor a snow cone or anything like that. Navarrete, the senator from Arizona, a state senator, by the way, identifies as being gay. And oddly enough, may be identified by others as a pedophile. He doesn't self-identify. So unless that's allowed now, is that perhaps he's testing the waters. By the way, Senator Navarrete, unfortunately, has tested positive for COVID-19 despite being fully vaccinated. Yep. At last report, he was isolating at his house with mild symptoms of one virus or another, was State Senator we'll just call him Tony because his name should be blotted out of all history as well. All right, I'll just move on. Can I even do this? I can't even do this. I can't move on to this story because I'm coming up on a break. So when was it decided, by the way, that police could interview a suspect, develop probable cause to arrest him on multiple counts of what they call sexual conduct? I hate that word, by the way. That really softens it. What is sexual conduct? What does that mean? Does it mean rape? Because if you move against a child in a sexual manner, that by definition is rape. It's nothing else. It's not conduct. Conduct is something that we can tolerate. Who decided we were going to tolerate this sort of stuff? This isn't conduct. This guy's a child rapist, and upon conviction, not only should he be kicked out of the Senate, he should be put to death. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Thanks for sticking with us, folks. If you can take it. If you can take it, we're here dishing it out. Speaking of dishing it out, we go to the pizza oven file. The pizza oven file. What? All right, so we just had a state senator in Arizona arrested for raping children. He hasn't been convicted yet. And so, but he has been arrested for raping children. And that's, it's in the news. Like, people see the story and they're like, okay, another senator, high profile, wealthy, homosexual, raping children. That story comes and then you see it. That's in your mind. Now that goes. And then we go to the pizza oven file. So the New York Post reports that a money manager for the Soros Fund, whose name I will mention his name because he's a pervert, Howard Rubin, apparently maintained a secret dungeon in New York City and is accused of having committed violent acts against a number of different women. He is currently involved in a civil trial where the women are trying to extract from him approximately $18 million for the abuse that he inflicted on them in his secret dungeon. A dungeon, I said. Anyway, initial accusations were made against Howard Rubin, money manager for the Soros Fund, very close friend of George Soros's kid. George Soros's heir apparent is buddy-buddy with this guy, and he has a dungeon. Did I mention he had a dungeon? That just strikes me as odd. I've wanted a lot of things in my life. I like a new car once in a while. You know, I'd like to do some serious landscaping things. I have dreams. A dungeon never crossed my mind. A bomb shelter, maybe, not a dungeon. But this guy has a dungeon, and his dungeon is in it's in an apartment in New York, apparently. So it's not like down in the ground, like a traditional dungeon, like, you know, under the castle. This is like on the 40th floor, which is... Anyway, initial accusations were made against Mr. Rubin in November 2017. His wife of 36 years stuck with him. And only filed for divorce a few weeks ago. Golly. Anyway, it's like, so accusation after accusation after accusation. And then finally she must have just went and actually looked in the dungeon and went, okay, there's the dungeon. Okay, this is all for real. How much can a wife take? Asked the New York Post. Well, when a guy makes like $100 million a year, apparently she can take quite a bit. This one anyways. Yeah. So there you have it. So you wonder why it is that middle class people in America who are relatively conservative have a general conspiracy theory that rich and famous people are sex perverts and maniacs and child molesters. You wonder why that is? Well, it's because of stereotypes. And the reason we have stereotypes is because things like that happen a lot. And so when things like that happen a lot, you get a stereotype. Because things like that happen a lot. And the thing about rich, famous people is an awful lot of them are child molesters and sex perverts. That's just, it happens a lot. I'm sorry, it's in the news. Is it all a conspiracy? I don't think so. I think they're all addicted to pornography. That's it. It's the ubiquitous availability of realistic pornography is destroying the world. And it will destroy the world. And I think it's at the bottom of all of this. It's an undercurrent that is sucking us toward the rip current that's under all of this. It's behind COVID. It's behind the socialism. It's behind the wokeism. It's all of that. It's a godlessness fed by the ubiquitous availability of realistic pornography. There is no recovery from that. If we don't stop this, everything will be destroyed. We've got to stop this. And speaking of all that, we go to the decline and fall file. Should I go to that before I... Yeah, I'll go. I want to do this. I want to keep this... I've got something of a groove going here. A court in Texas. Texas being considered the buckle of the Bible Belt in America. A court there has ruled that... In a case where over the past couple years, we've reported on it here, Jeff Younger and his ex-wife, Ann Georgulis, or Gorgulis, or she's a pediatrician, and she's the, listen to what the Christian Post calls her. Ann Georgulis, or Georgulis, is the non-biological mother of James and his twin brother, who are the biological sons of Jeff Younger. So could you get any more confused? So Jeff Younger has two sons. One of them is not by Ann Georgulis, and one is. No, they're twin brothers. So neither one of them are Ann's kids. I'm just trying to figure this out, folks. It gets complicated. Anyway, they've been fighting since their divorce over custody of the two boys. Ann Georgulis calls Jeff's son Luna and wants him transitioned into a girl. Even though that's not really possible, in her fantasy bizarro world as a pediatrician, which, by the way, I think that's a medical doctor. She's a medical doctor who insists that her ex-husband's son is a girl, or should be a girl. Well, last Tuesday, Judge Mary Brown ruled against the father, Jeff Younger. Yeah, that's right. He can't keep his son away from his psychopathic sex pervert ex-wife. That's right. The judge cited the normal guy's, quote, unwillingness to follow the order to serve the best interest of the children. So the judge agrees with the medical doctor, the mad doctor, who wants to transition one of the boys into a girl. The court gave the deviant stepmother, Georgulis, exclusive custody of the two children on a temporary basis. They gave her the right to consent to various medical decisions to determine the kid's education, and a host of other privileges were awarded by the judge, the deviant pervert judge, to the deviant pervert pediatrician stepmom, the evil stepmother. This should be in the evil stepmother file. So the judge did, however, stop short of giving Georgulis the exclusive right to have James castrated. That's right. She won't be able to do that all by herself. She'll have to get the consent of the parents or a court order before she has the boy castrated. What are the odds she can get that? Well, she's not going to get it from the parents, right? Jeff Younger has already argued that his son is a boy and doesn't want to be a girl and that his ex-wife is crazy. And in a normal world, that's where it would all end. This wouldn't end up in court. No. When the police came, when they were having an argument and the police heard that the ex-wife wanted to transition the boy to a girl, the police would have arrested her and that would have been the end of it. We would have never ended up in a custody battle. She would have ended up in jail for the attempted, I don't even know what you call it, Do we even? There's not even a crime on the books for that, because nobody ever thought of doing that. But now they're doing it. And the courts are going along. The courts are in favor of the deviants and the perverts who want to castrate little boys. Shocking. So she will be able to castrate young. I don't want to say the boy's name. She will be able to castrate the young boy if she gets a court order. So since we know she's not going to get the consent of the parents, she'll go for a court order. She'll get it, and she will castrate the boy. Although I have a feeling that Jeff is not going to let that happen. I have a feeling that Dad, somehow, by hook or by crook, is not going to allow his son to be castrated by his insane ex-wife. And I wish if I could help him in some way, I'd be happy to drive the getaway car, whatever the guy needs. The highly publicized custody battle, according to the Christian Post, prompted state lawmakers in Texas to sponsor a bill that would ban gender transitioning of children. So let's stop right there, ladies and gentlemen. So if you're living in a society where you feel like you need to pass a law against mutilating and castrating children, you need to really stop and check yourself. Things are spinning a bit out of control. I think we might be off the rails. Maybe we should stop and take a breath and maybe think about what's going on here. So the Texas lawmakers sponsored the bill to ban gender transitioning, which never was a word. That's grammatically cumbersome. Anyway, they were going to ban gender transitioning. However, the measure died because Texas, like America, is on spiritual and cultural life support, surviving only by sucking up the rapidly diminishing fumes of godliness and sanity and common sense that were left to us by our forefathers. And the room is quickly running out of air. The fumes are almost gone. I mean, we've introduced into the language the term gender transitioning. That right there is a problem. The fact that that term even exists is a problem. Let alone that we're arguing over it in court and even at the level of the legislature. That any of this could be entertained as even worthy of debate is terrifying. And so I'll tell you how bad it is. My extremely attractive audio engineer and I, we went to a store recently that is primarily services the Asian community, grocery store where you can go and get exotic, strange Asian foods that look like things that you would not really think to eat when you first see them. But people in Asia, apparently at some point in the past, were very, very hungry, and they decided to eat things that normally you would look at that and say, I wouldn't look at that as food. I might look at that as something to... I could look at that as something to wash something with or to clean a car with or something like that. But anyway, so we go to the Asian store to get our exotic Asian fare. And 100% maski. That was my line as we walked through the store. If you don't speak Japanese, yeah, 100% maski. That means 100% maski. Maski. Isn't that the Japanese way to say maski?
No.
How do you say it?
I don't know.
There's no word for it. See, just like there was never a word for gender transitioning, there's no word for maski in Japanese. 100%. 100%. 100% of the people, both the employees and everyone in the store, all wear masks except us. We walk through the store without masks because we're not hysterical. But just the news media and the building... And the haze and the mind control that's going on is astonishing. There's been no state order. There's been no county order. There's just word that this Delta variant might be really, really bad. 100%. Every single person's got a mask on like it's the end of the world. Like they're living in a science fiction novel. It's bizarre. Anyway, I've already resigned myself to the fact that this is never going to end and that we're just going to have to figure out a way to work around it, because this particular hysteria for a significant plurality of the population is permanent. I have to admit that now, and I have to move on, and I have to base my worldview from a different level now. A certain amount of common sense and a certain amount of rationality simply has to be dismissed in order to move forward without driving yourself insane. And that type of emotional detachment from reality, while it might get us by, it might help us from going crazy, in the end, it is not optimal. Guarantee you that not even the most hardcore hater of my bumper music wanted me to come back there and wanted to fast forward through that. No, every one of you listened to all of that and you wish I wouldn't have come back. We got another minute of that we could have let roll. It probably would be better than what you're about to hear, because what you're about to hear is fairly depressing compared to that riff. That's a pretty uplifting riff. The American Medical Association's got a very depressing rift as we go into the Dark Ages file. The American Medical Association has released a statement that says the following, quote, "Designating sex on birth certificates as male or female perpetuates a view that sex designation is permanent. This risks stifling an individual's self-expression and self-identification, contributes to marginalization and minoritization," unquote. That's the board of the American Medical Association, implying that sex is not permanent, and self-expression and self-identification trump biology. Yeah, in fact, that was a quote. I'm sorry. Yeah, that was a quote from the board chair-elect, Sandra, who's a medical doctor. Sandra is a medical doctor. Write down the name Sandra Adamson Fryhofer and don't go see her, for crying out loud. She might inject you with who knows what. Testosterone and progesterone, whatever. What do you like? Okay, so let's scratch her off the list of potential doctors to go see if we actually need medical advice or medical treatment. Now, the American Medical Association is not going to completely throw the idea of biological sex out completely. They say a person's biological sex would still be submitted to the U.S. standard certificates of live birth for statistical use, But public designation of sex could lead to discrimination. So sex is now just a statistical point of data? And isn't submitting something to the U.S. standard certificates of live birth, isn't that a public designation? Maybe not anymore. Maybe it won't be a public record anymore that you're a boy or a girl. Anyway, Robert Jackson, who's with the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, he thinks this is insane. So this is a cosmetic surgeon, okay? This is a guy who does nose jobs. And he's like, wait a second. This is insane. Are you people out of your minds? Dr. Jackson says, quote, we as physicians need to report things accurately. Okay, let's stop right there, doctor. I appreciate the fact that you're speaking for we as physicians, but I would just like to let everyone know in my audience that we need to report things accurately. We as physicians, we as plumbers, we as auto mechanics, we as custodians, just name it, okay? We all need to report things accurately, but especially physicians. Here's what Dr. Jackson goes on to say. This is the same guy who thinks the AMA is out of their mind. Although he doesn't go that far. I shouldn't. He's probably be mad at me for saying that I'm exaggerating his position. Anyway, he says, quote, I think when a child is born, they do have physical characteristics, either male or female. And I think that probably should be on public record. That's just my personal opinion, unquote. So this is the problem, ladies and gentlemen. The people who are representing sanity and common sense are actually afraid to make an unequivocal statement about fact. Dr. Jackson is afraid to say, you notice he says, I think that when a child is born, they have physical characteristics, when in reality, he knows that. He doesn't think that. If you've ever been present at the live birth of a baby, you look down and you know it. It's not something you think. It's something you see. But he says, I think, the male or female probably should be on the public record. That's just my personal opinion. And if I've offended anyone, I'm very sorry. I'll stop. Thank you, sir. May I have another? All right. That's Dr. Jackson. That's as close as we can get to sanity. And it's a nose job guy. That's great. The AMA has faced a backlash for wanting to eliminate biological distinguishments that in medical treatment could mean the difference between life or death. And then this story, I'll link this story. I don't want to get into this because it's just a little too... Anyway, the story goes on about a woman who went into the hospital. Everybody thought it was a guy because she was a guy. I'm getting confused. Lady gets sick. Right? She identifies as a man. She goes to the hospital. She identifies to them as a man. Well, turns out she's not sick as a man. She's pregnant as a woman, and the baby ends up dying because they didn't know it was a girl. And so this is life and death stuff in the American Medical Association going along with it. You got one guy who does nose jobs. He's barely afraid. He's barely got the courage to stand up and say, wait a second, I think there might be biological differences at birth, but that's just my opinion. I'm telling you, folks, it's the end of medicine. It's 1,000 years of darkness. If this isn't throttled and these people aren't arrested and punished with extreme prejudice, the people who are carrying off this trans madness, this homosexual madness, they need to be arrested and this needs to be stopped. At some point, this needs to become a justice issue, okay? This is a crime against humanity that's being committed. And by allowing all of this reinterpretation of what sexuality is, what that's doing is that's corrupting and perverting a generation of children who are now growing up saturated in pornography, sexual confusion, and deviancy. And a little kid, they can't protect themselves from that. If they don't have a mom and dad at home who are teaching them what's right and wrong, who know God, who know male and female, who know that God created us at the beginning of the creation, male and female, and that we should get married and have kids, and that's what sex is for. If young people don't have someone in their life to teach them that, they're going to grow up and become perverts, and they're going to destroy one another, and they are going to victimize the younger generation. That's what the young people will do. They'll grow up into their teens and 20s, and they'll begin to rape and molest the younger kids because that's how they've been raised. Case in point, we go to the justice file. 17 people in Central Florida have been charged in an undercover investigation into child predators. Among the suspects were several employees of Disney World. That's right. One lifeguard at Disney Animal Kingdom Lodge was arrested. I'm not going to get into what he did. It's rape of children is what it is. It's either rape or it's attempted rape. Either way, it's rape, and he should be prosecuted, and if convicted, he should be put to death. He's also a Navy veteran. Yeah, stick that in there, you know, just because. You got to stick that in there, right? Oh, it's by the way, it's a Navy veteran. Use. Like, the Navy's not famous for homosexuality, right? No, never heard of that. Anyway, the suspects all together, how many of them were there? 17 people, they face 48 felony counts. 48 felony counts, and none will be executed upon conviction, meaning this is just another industrial operation by the FBI and the Florida police. This is another industrial operation to produce a product. What is the product that this undercover operation is designed to produce? Is that product justice? No. The product they produce is more undercover investigations, right? More make work for the police, more make work for the judges, more billable hours for lawyers, more make work for judges and public defenders. That's the product. The product is not justice. The product is just more of this. And until pornography is outlawed again, like it was for 5,000 years, until pornography is outlawed again, and producers of pornography and people who kidnap women and do those things to them, until they are prosecuted and punished with extreme prejudice, this will only continue and it will only get worse. We go now to the decline and fall file, where the Federalist reports that back on July 20th of this year, just a few weeks ago in Burbank, California, the YMCA, that's the Young Men's Christian Association, by the way, for those of you who may not know, that's what the YMCA started as, the Young Men's Christian Association. They were gymnasiums in inner cities where at-risk youth could go to find out about God and play basketball and stay out of trouble. Well, now, July 20th, 2021, in Burbank, they hosted an all-ages event whose work features pornographic depictions of characters from popular children's shows. And they mention the artist whose name I'm not going to mention. But they feature an artist who takes commonly known children's characters and paints dirty pictures with them. The YMCA posted an advertisement, and they tagged this artist's Instagram account, which features just images of paintings of Disney characters doing things I can't even talk about. Disney characters engaged in, I can't say that. You can't say that on the air, or at least you shouldn't be able to. And so the advertisement that the kids would see would link to this guy's Instagram where they would see that. That's a criminal act. Everyone involved here should be arrested for molesting children. But no, this is the YMCA. According to the Federalist, the YMCA was completely aware of the type of art that this particular pervert specializes in before deciding to ask him to host the event where they were inviting children. By the way, this particular artist pervert is in a relationship with the YMCA director of marketing and social responsibility. He's in a relationship with him. It's a man, of course. He's not in a relationship with a woman. The guy's a faggot. He's a homo. And this other homo, who is the director of marketing at this YMCA group, he's also publicly posted perverse filth and pornography. And he's in charge of a YMCA group that's inviting children to events. The YMCA director, who's in a relationship with the artist, uses the pronoun they. The YMCA director dresses in drag and hosts Drag Queen Story Hour. This particular YMCA has hosted Drag Queen Story Hours, where they invited one man who was charged with 7 counts of child pornography possession. Wow. 3 Burbank City Council members attending the center's ribbon-cutting ceremony back in June. They were just all celebratory about the fact that a bunch of faggots and perverts were now going to be inviting children to Drag Queen Story Hour. Let's cut those ribbons, said the Burbank City Council, as they went straight to hell with jet rockets. Nickelodeon, IKEA, and Warner Brothers donated furniture to the new potential dungeon, I would have to say. It's the only place I could. So, folks, we have criminally insane people committing criminal acts against women and children with the blessing of the government and industry. That's dangerous. It's not dangerous. It's catastrophic. It's the end of the world. It's the end of Western civilization. This will not get better. Once people are allowed to become this corrupt and perverted, they will not reform. They will not be reformed. Because they've been told it's right, and they've been allowed to preach that it's right, and the courts have told them it's right and good. All right, and so do I want to do any of this? Real quick, just a little bit on COVID here. I'll go a little bit long, but you people don't mind, right? You don't. It's okay. Well, before we go to COVID, let's go to what COVID has exposed. In the widespread tyranny file, over in the United Kingdom, more than 40,000 students were formally removed from the public schools during the COVID hysteria, lockdown, panic, freakout. Now, that's almost double the average from previous years. And this has alarmed lawmakers. Why? Do you think they're worried about the education of the children? Do you think that's it? Well, that might be. That's what they're saying. But, well, they're demanding a national registry of all students schooled outside the system. Yes. Uh-huh. They say they want to remove what they call an unacceptable level of opaqueness when it comes to homeschooling. An unacceptable level of opaqueness, formerly known as privacy. Uh-huh. In the King's English, in America, you'd call it privacy. We call it an unacceptable level of opaqueness surrounding these homeschoolers. Who exactly are they? How many of them are there? Can we get them on a registry? I want to keep track of them. Obviously dangerous. Enemies of the state. Anyway, there was a report. WorldNet Daily says, they actually report that there was a report called Strengthening Home Education. By lawmakers in the UK, charges the government fails to collect and compile enough details about children in homeschooling. One Minister of Parliament claimed it was frankly astonishing that the government was only able to make a best guess over the standard of education children schooled at home were receiving. What do you mean, only a best guess? That's an unacceptable level of opaqueness, in my opinion. Now, these good lawmakers and ministers of parliament claim that their goal is to make sure that homeschool kids are getting the same opportunities as their school-educated peers. We want to make sure that they're all indoctrinated, masked, drugged, and molested like their school compatriots there, you know. One of the ministers of parliament there says, getting a grip on the number of young people not being taught in the schools with a national register must just be the first step in shaking up the status quo, unquote. So they're freaking out about homeschooling over in England, and they're freaking out about it here, too, because, you know, the thing is they want control. They want absolute control. They want you thinking about them all the time. That's what's behind the mask. That's what's behind the Delta variant. That's what's next is the Lambda variant. And you people wonder why from the very beginning I was suspicious that maybe we were being lied to. Maybe this was being hyped up into something that wasn't really as real or as scary as they were telling us. And maybe you'd think that I was just, irresponsible and that I was dismissive of the potential for a public health crisis, when actually I was just operating based on what I've seen since the beginning of my adult life, is that the government tends to lie, and they like people to be scared, and they've been willing to lie before. And so I thought from the very beginning that a goodly part of this was not true. And from there, we end in the long COVID file. Dr. Anthony Fauci, who funded controversial coronavirus research in Wuhan, China, says the country could be in trouble unless everybody who hasn't been vaccinated gets vaccinated. What we are seeing because of this increase in transmissibility with this Delta variant, Delta, 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 can we help you, help you, help you? Yeah. What we're seeing because of this increase in transmissibility and because we have about 93 million people in this country who don't get vaccinated, that you have a significant pool of vulnerable people. Delta variant cases are rising in a very steep fashion, steep, like a hockey stick, yeah, steep there. And we already know that people who get breakthrough infections, you know, they too are susceptible, I said, to long COVID. Did you get that? Long COVID. Not just COVID, but long COVID. That means it hurts. It drags out. You get a lot of other people sick. It's long COVID, baby. And you're not exempt from long COVID if you get a breakthrough infection. Even if you're vaccinated, you could go down with the long COVID. But of course, the fault of all of that lies with the unvaccinated. Now, if we don't crush the outbreak to the point of getting the overwhelming proportion of the population vaccinated, then what will happen? I'll tell you what will happen. Have I been telling you what will happen? I'm going to tell you now. The virus will continue to smolder. Smolder, I said. Like an ash in the carpet, smoldering, cooking, smoking, burning up. It'll smolder through the fall and into the winter, maybe even through the midterm elections. I'm sorry. Did I mention the midterms? I apologize for that. Anyway, there could be a variant coming along. I'm telling you, I've been watching this. Have you been listening to me? I'm telling you, there's a variant that could be lingering, hiding out there like a smoldering ember in the carpet. It's just out there and it's lingering, and that could push aside the Delta. Push it right aside, and that could be very scary. Very scary. It could have an equally high compatibility of transmitting, but also be much more severe. Severe, I said, you know? And that, then we could really be in trouble. That's right. We could really be in trouble. Uh-huh. Yeah. There's the Lambda variant. Have you heard of that one yet? I'm working on that one. I'll have some more on the Lambda just as soon as I'm working on that. My team and, we're working on all of that. I managed not to. But now I know that this is all. Now, when I say that we could be in trouble, I mean you people. Because I know, not me. I mean, we. Of course, I don't mean me. It's not me or people like me. Because people like me and me, we all know this is mostly hokum. And I'm making a fortune for my family. My family, for generations, they're going to be barons and baronesses. Are you kidding me? I'm going to be fine. But what I'm worried about is you people. Unquote. And that's it, folks. That's the Weekly Worldview. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you, Dr. Fauci, for giving us the long COVID. We're really looking forward to all of that. I want to thank my friends at KGOV.com and at Real Science Radio, at American Right to Life and the Personhood Alliance, and of course, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here in the Weekly Worldview studios, should the Lord tarry, we will return next week. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.